Oh, sure, John, this is easy. You know, I just want to get a little help from my Monty Python script writers. Now, the United States does not negotiate with terrorists. The Taliban have been designated as terrorists. We are negotiating with the Taliban. Therefore, the Taliban cannot be terrorists, and the administration is actually looking at decertifying them and saying the Taliban aren't terrorists anymore, even though they're routinely killing men, women, and children with suicide bombings, beheadings, murders, assassinations. If we're negotiating with them, they can't be terrorists because we don't negotiate with terrorists. I mean, this circular, bizarre logic, I mean, it's even worse than Monty Python. It's Marx Brothers stuff. And, you know, and Hamid Karzai, I mean, this guy, we should have never let him steal the election in 2009, discredited everything we ever said about democracy and the rule of law. But nonetheless, yeah, we, you know, pretend that he won the election fair and square. We've recognized him as head of state. And I don't think much of him, but for the first time in a long time, I've got a little sympathy with him because, you know, he is the president of Afghanistan, no matter how he got there. He's supposed to be our ally, even though he betrays us right and left.
Yes.
And now we're going behind the back of a government we are paying billions of dollars a year to support to negotiate with the Taliban. Now, again, this is really so whacked out, it's unbelievable. But the bottom line is this. President Obama desperately wants a fig leaf. He desperately wants a piece of paper he can hold in his hand guaranteeing peace in our time, because he wants to be able to say that, you know, he left Afghanistan with a peace accord, an agreement with the Taliban, and yeah, the civil war broke out immediately after he left, and the Taliban are attacking Kabul, and it's a bloody mess. But it's not his fault, because he had a peace agreement, and those nasty Taliban people just broke it. I mean, it's really pathetic. Obama is a words guy. He's gotten to the White House just by talking. He deals in words, not deeds. And so to him, if he just has that piece of paper basically saying it's not his fault whatever happens to Afghanistan in the future, he figures he's off scot-free. Now remember, this is the president who in 2008, campaigning, told us he knew how to fix Afghanistan. This is the president who sent in the ill-advised surge, simultaneously telling the Taliban it's okay, they're not going to stay very long. The left has been amazingly quiet, John, about three-quarters of our casualties in Afghanistan, KIA, and wounded in action, killed in action, wounded in action, occurred under Obama, not under George Bush, under Obama. Afghanistan is a vastly more violent place, much more troubled than it was when Obama took office. Now Obama is congratulating himself for ending the surge he ordered. He's undercutting what few shreds there are of credibility in the Karzai government, negotiating directly with terrorists, and that's what the Taliban are. And nobody calls him out, except maybe you and a few others. I mean, this isn't, you know, this isn't going to be on MSNBC portrayed this way. It's going to be, oh, Obama's, you know, he's doing his best to achieve peace. It's very, very difficult, blah, 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 blah. No, Obama's negotiating with terrorists to kill Americans just to protect his image, period.
And are these guys, so this is nothing about having that soldier from Idaho.
Well, the soldier from Idaho, Bo Bergdahl, you know, for his family's sake, I hope he comes home safe. For his family's sake, it's going to be interesting to see what the Army does, because he's a guy who, you know, walked away from his post and abandoned his buddies in wartime. On the other hand, I don't think he's had a real good time the last 4 years in Taliban
control. Are the people we're negotiating with the people who took him?
Well, the Taliban's pretty well integrated. They know where he is. They say he's alive. And I'm all for getting him back for his family's sake.
Sure, sure.
But nonetheless, the Taliban want to trade for five really bad senior terrorists. And again, you're back to, you know, we're not supposed to negotiate with terrorists, but now we're negotiating with terrorists. So, I mean, there are no easy answers. These are very, very difficult problems. I would be inclined to do a one-for-one trade. A five-for-one trade is pretty dicey. You know, and there are factors people don't think about. We've actually, over the last 4 years, we have diverted an enormous amount of military assets and intelligence assets looking for Bergdahl. It's very expensive, because even though he walked away from his post, we don't abandon people. And they've kept looking at him. We have, there are targets we didn't hit because we didn't know he was there, but we feared he might be there. So it's caused a lot of disruption. So you can make a case if you can get a reasonable trade to get the guy back. But then the military has to decide whether or not to court-martial him. Do you go with good order and discipline? I mean, what do you do? And the political pressure, of course, on the left is going to be to treat the guy as a hero. And the only part of it all that makes me really mad is that everybody knows his name, Bo Bergdahl, but how many of your listeners know the name of a Medal of Honor winner?
Right.
We know the name, thanks to the
Michael
media,
Mansour.
The guy who walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. But we know the name of the guy who walked away from his post, but not the names of the heroes killed in action or wounded in action. They get largely ignored by the media, but we know the guy who walked away. You know, it's kind of sad.
So, Ralph, summing up here, because I think you pointed out just how utterly bizarre and bewildering this whole idea of negotiating with the Taliban while we have a don't negotiate with terrorist policy in place in this country. Where do you see this ending?
I see it ending with the best outcome is a divided Afghanistan with a sputtering civil war, the Taliban in control of the south and the east, the old Northern Alliance and its allies in control of the north and the west, and constant shifting battle lines between Kandahar and Kabul. The Taliban will threaten Kabul, and that's the best outcome. That's the best outcome.
Wow!
Because we never admitted what this fight was about. We stepped into the middle of a civil war, pretended there was no civil war. The great mistake that Bush made wasn't what the left accused him of. They said, "Oh, he took his eyes off the ball. He didn't send enough troops to Afghanistan. He went to Iraq." No, Bush's mistake was staying in Afghanistan. The correct way to do this strategically and militarily was what we did in the autumn of 2001. Go in and just hammer the bejesus out of those suckers, and then you leave the smoking ruins behind. But no, we had to stay and try to turn Kabul into Seattle, or at least Vancouver, and turn Afghans into good Americans.
Yes.
And it was a hopeless mission from the start. And, you know, all the nonsense. People don't study military history yet. People in Washington never served in the military. Say, oh, if we don't rebuild Afghanistan and make it like Disneyland, we may have to go back. Well, okay. If you got to go back 10 years later, you go back and hammer them again, leave more smoking ruins. But it's a lot cheaper in terms of blood and treasure than trying to rebuild an outhouse of a country into a mansion and a beacon of light of democracy. So, you know, we just muddled this from the very, very beginning. And the people that are on the right, that are saying, "Oh no, we got to stay the course. We got to rescue Afghanistan." Look, the Afghans don't want us there. We, except for a few educated ones in the capital cities. I mean, the Taliban are the home team for the Pashtun part of the population. We've been there a dozen years, and we still refuse. It's not that we don't understand it; it's we refuse to understand what's going on in that country. Then there's the whole Pakistan issue, pretending they're an ally, even though they hid bin Laden and support the killing of our troops.
Yes.
The sophistication of this struggle, the complexity, is so far beyond Washington's ability to comprehend it.
So
I have no measure.
Your best case scenario, Ralph Peters, was bleak.
The Civil War.
What's the worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario is the Taliban take over Kabul again.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we're right back to, 2000.
Yeah, I don't think they can do it right away. You know, the question is, the question isn't will the Afghan National Army disintegrate, it's how soon it will disintegrate. Because when the Soviets left Afghanistan, they actually left a much more capable Afghan military than we're leaving. And that came apart because you cannot overcome these ethnic divisions.